Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
This whole race has been all Kyle Larson. You put that kid behind the wheel of a race car like this at Hendrick Motorsports, and he will get the job done. Old-fashioned butt-whooping all day long. Kyle Larson.
Two of the best in the business come off turn number four. Reddick got within a car length, but Kyle Larson scores his 24th career win for Rick Hendrick and Chevrolet.
Kyle Larson wins at Las Vegas. Welcome to Race and Rep episode, another episode of Racing Radio, an episode of Racing Radio. I'm Bobby Skinner with Justin Penick. Total domination for Larson. What'd you think of the race?
Yeah, I mean, Larson had the car that, like, the average fastest speed during the whole entire weekend. So, honestly, I almost thought about retexting you or retweeting, like, I think Kyle Larson's going to win this race, but ultimately I picked Truex. Yeah, I mean, domination. I feel like Larson will have these races. I feel like guys that, like, if you have guys that on a mile and a half that just have really, really good cars like this, there's a good chance that they could dominate from start to finish. And then usually the way that they lose it is by a late race caution at the end, or if they make a mistake, or if there's a mistake on pit road. And that never really came, and Larson dominated basically from start to finish.
Yeah, for our picks this week, I just kind of picked Kyle Busch. I'm like, yeah, he's leading the points in Las Vegas. And I just didn't want to be boring and pick Larson, but in reality, I should just pick Larson and got, you know, my Larson pick with done for the year. Because, I mean, he's just dominated this track. He won the last race here in the playoffs, and then even last year he dominated the race, but ended up finishing second to William Byron off of a, you know, because Byron got off pit road before him with, you know, I think it was an overtime green white checkered. But now Reddick made it close, right? And it was basically the end of every single stage was the exact, or at least stage one, and then the end of the race, because Reddick finished second in all three stages too. So he dominated second place in this and had a chance to beat it, but didn't have enough time, and Larson was just able to aero block for, you know, that second to last lap and dominate. It's a testament to Larson's just kind of I know we can debate and all that stuff, but I just think he's the best driver that NASCAR's had over the last 5 years. Right? Like there's nobody I'd trust to go win a 1.5 mile race than him.
I mean, I think in terms of quality and level of driver, and I'm not just talking about results, right? I'm not talking just about consistency, because certainly Kyle Larson sometimes drives the wheels off of the car. And why I think that I ultimately don't think Kyle Larson's going to win the championship this year, because I think he's going to wind up wrecking too many times, and I think that could, you know, backfire him in the playoffs it did last year. But I think in terms of talent, quality of driver, like, he can go in any kind of race car, whether it's on dirt, whether it's on asphalt, concrete, whatever. He can drive any car anywhere, and he could be successful, and he could be a threat to win. I don't know. Maybe, like, Kyle Busch back in his, like, early Gibbs days where he was just winning everything. Like, there's Tony Stewart, obviously, could get in any car anywhere and win. I mean, Tony Stewart's freaking driving an NHRA now, and he's doing well. So, yeah, I think Larson's, like, up there, not even just of the last 5 years. I think of, like, all time of, like, you could put him in those list of drivers that could just drive any car anywhere and be competitive.
Yeah, and it's like the Indy 500 this year he's going to race on. I'm like, I'm truly excited. He's the first guy to do the, you know, the double dip since Kurt Busch and then Tony Stewart and Robbie Gordon before him. Whereas, like, I don't think he's going to win, obviously, but I'm like, I don't see why he couldn't go out there and be competitive. Like you said, he can truly jump in anything and do well. And This was the popular pick for this race. You know, Toronto picked him on the Thursday show, and I truly didn't pick him because I didn't want to be boring, and now I'm regretting it because it's like, man, this is his he has a bunch of tracks, but this is his track. But even like you said, he wrecks out a little too often. I mean, last year was considered a down year because he had some DNFs, and not all were up because of his doing. There was a lot of races that he didn't win at the end. And it was considered a down year where he won four races and was part of the championship four.
Yeah.
You know, and now he gets the race with confidence of being locked in the playoffs, which obviously was never a doubt with him. But like, if a down year is other guys' career years, like that, I think that says something to him, about him.
Yeah, especially, I mean, and I know this is kind of like this, maybe like a big picture off-season conversation. I always go back to Larson and I think of, what if he got into a Hendrick ride sooner? Because he spent a lot of years with Ganassi, a lot of years being competitive, and even some years waiting to win. And he just ran really, really well. And he was aggressive, and he was young, and he was up and coming, but he was just in a ride that was going anywhere. And is Ganassi still even in the Cup Series? Are they even still
in NASCAR? No, they sold to Trackhouse.
Yeah, so, you know, if he got into a higher quality level of ride, or even if Trackhouse came along sooner, how fun would it be if, think of the alternate timeline of Kyle Larson that's teammates with Ross Chastain. So, yeah, man, now that he's with Hendrick, obviously, you know, he had the year where, you know, he was off. And now that he's with Hendrick, probably the, you know, where Rick Hendrick was targeting him for years, now that he could just be dominant, and this was the first race of the year where it's dominant. And then even like William Byron, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, Rick Hendrick, two out of the first three races, two different drivers win it. William Byron and Kyle Larson right now, you know, this season could very well turn into just, you know, two guys dominating week in and week out, maybe some drivers being consistent. But, I mean, you're talking about, I don't know if Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon were ever like dominant at the same time together, but they were always like a duo, like one of the best duos in NASCAR, just on the same team. I think you could see Kyle Larson at the best stretch of his career, William Byron getting to be in the prime of his career as well. And these guys are on the same team at the same time with really good cars. So it should be exciting to see how it happens this year. William Byron finishes 10th in this race, despite all the adversity that he went through.
Yeah, but even his adversity happened early, which was the biggest piece of, like, oh, he's got some debris on his grill, and it looked like an entire fucking screen enclosure. I've never seen something that big. Like, it's you know, the Siegel through Dale Earnhardt at the Daytona 500 in the early 90s, and then, you know, an entire screen enclosure on William Byron's. But even then, if that happened to Kyle Larson, I have a lot more faith in Kyle Larson to get back up into the top. And there was guys who had those issues, who, you know, even Ty Gibbs got back to the top 5-0. Like, guys were able to charge back up. Chastain did it a couple times, even though having taken two at the end to finish fourth. But, like, I view Kyle Larson as, like, just the clear-cut best driver at the best team in the sport in Hendrick.
Now, I really wonder how much the – because they were talking on the broadcast a little bit. I don't think that was just a piece of tape on William Byron's hood. I mean, you know, you mentioned it. They said the water temps and the engine temp got up to 350. So a part of me doesn't think the engine fully recovered, or maybe it did. And you saw how dirty air played an impact. You saw that there were guys early in the race that were taking no tires and two tires. And even like Daniel Suarez stayed up there for a little bit. John Hunter Nemechek stayed up there. I think it was stage one or stage two, where they stayed up there for a little bit because you have the clean air, but then you get back in that dirty air and you just can't go anywhere. So I don't know if it was a dirty air issue or if it was an engine issue where Byron just couldn't recover. But the fact that he finished 10th with that engine, with the issue, I think it's, again, it's a testament to that team.
Yeah. Reddick complained about his pit crew too after the post race. He's like, same shit, a different year. Because they've had issues, so it'd be interesting to see if there's any changes there. But like, he had Reddick, quote, like, had a dominant race. If Kyle Larson just didn't exist, like, he took second both stages, and, you know, and then finished second in the race, almost pulled it out. I thought Bubba Wallace, I knew he wasn't going to go nuts blocking Larson, but I thought he would do a little bit more than he did. I knew they didn't have enough time to do the whole thing where they did in stage two, where, you know, Bubba was coming and pushing him with cleaner tires. I don't even know if he had cleaner tires at that point or newer tires at that point. But I thought Bubba would not, you know, throw anything dirty, but I thought he would maybe, you know, try and block Larson's air for at least one more lap, but he got out of the way.
Yeah.
Other things from the race, the sophomores. I thought it was a big day for the sophomores and Ty Gibbs and Noah Gragson, and especially big for Gragson. You know, you finish ninth at Daytona, which is obviously good for him, but, you know, finishing ninth at Daytona is not something that, like, is a big boost for a team. And then 36th at Atlanta, obviously getting caught up in a wreck. Had negative points coming into this, right? Like, you think about how bad Noah Gragson's rookie year went. you know, just from everything to the concussion, just not running well at all. You know, the one time he was running well, he got wrecked at Talladega. And he again has negative points coming into this week. And like, this could be a bad sophomore year for Noah Gragson. Stuart Haas Racing's not very good anymore. And he was racing. Like, he finished sixth place, was, you know, passing Hamlin, was out there racing for, you know, I think he's kind of been forgotten about because of how bad his rookie year went. And like, I was thoroughly impressed. And it's not like he's on a team that's out there dominating. He was much better than anybody on his team. I know Briscoe was running well, but it seemed like he was just wearing the shit out of his tires. And then he ended up dropping back like 10 spots before having issues.
Yeah, it seemed like the Fords and especially some of those guys on Stuart Haas had some good short run speed, and you know, there was a caution towards the end there, and then they got a good restart. I think Gragson, and I'm going to put Josh Berry in the same boat, but I think I feel a little bit more confident with Gragson. I think Gragson's going to have some good runs this year, and I think he is going to be the Stuart Haas driver to kind of stand out the most, and he may be the Stuart Haas driver that really convinces Tony Stewart that there needs to be some major shakeups and major changes at Stuart Haas, because I'm out on Briscoe. I'm especially out on Ryan Preece. So I'm kind of rooting for Gragson to kind of get it together this year and, you know, help out Stuart Haas, bring it back a little bit. That's a little bit of a wild card driver is a guy that Tony Stewart would maybe be attracted to. So, you know, good race for Gragson.
Yeah, I mean, two top tens and three races is pretty good for him. And then and Gibbs finishing fifth. The way I like, because you know, it bothers me that rookies just cannot find success anymore, unless it's a super speedway. But when they're doing this at the mile and a half, it makes you feel good about like, okay, these guys can come up. Like, I think Gibbs, this is like a nice statement race for Gibbs now. And like I said, we were talking about it, I think, during the playoff preview, or the, you know, the preview of who we thought was going to make the playoffs. And like, yeah, Gibbs kind of played it cool cut, you know, clean cut last year. But once he starts getting some confidence, I think you're going to see the real part of him. He ends up finishing fifth after issue, right? Had a, you know, a pit road issue. Then, you know, the transmission, you know, lost first gear, so he couldn't get off pit road, you know, because he was running fifth and then came off like 10th on that after that last caution, ended up fighting back to be fifth. And you heard him on the radio with Truex, like, I'm about ready to like not race this guy clean anymore, who again is not only a teammate, but like the second longest tenured NASCAR driver. So that is my prediction, like over the next 10 weeks, is that we're going to have some like huge Ty Gibbs is the storyline issue, whether that's for him doing good or for him screwing something up. But you can see that it's like yearning to come out of him.
And I didn't think today's race was overall very exciting. You know, it did have a pretty good ending where you had Reddick and Larson kind of going at it with each other. Maybe Dirty Air played a little bit of an impact why it wasn't an awesome finish. But overall, two out of the first three races were good finishes. And I would say this wasn't a great race. It was a mile and a half. It was a mile and a half where one driver was way more dominant than the other. But the times where it was like more exciting and where you kind of, you know, you kind of lean in a little bit was the restarts, but it was really Ty Gibbs that was forcing the issue, maybe even when he wasn't supposed to, forcing the issue of making it three wide and being aggressive and making some moves. I remember there was one run that he had on Kyle Busch where Kyle Busch was in the middle. Ty Gibbs is trying to go up top, and this is stage one. And Kyle Busch is like, no, he shut the door right away. But Gibbs had a car where he felt like he was comfortable enough to make those moves, and he's being aggressive, and I appreciate that. And he was being aggressive, not like a dick. He was being like he's been accused of in the past. I think he was being aggressive of, you see these guys going three wide, you know, four wide's irresponsible. You see these guys going three wide and they can do it. So Gibbs was doing that, forcing the issue, moving some spots, advancing himself. And I thought he had a great race, good car, and I thought he was smart, responsible doing it. But also, it was entertaining to watch him as well. Like, probably the driver that was most entertaining to watch move through the field today was Ty Gibbs.
Oh, absolutely. He had his hair on fire. But again, my prediction is that he's going to wreck one of like the most 5-10-year guys at some point, and it's going to piss a lot of people off. And I would love for it to be Kyle Busch, because it's, you know, probably a little extra vendetta because he took his spot. And there's probably some similarities of, I know Gibbs is a nepo baby, but like as like how quickly and how like at young ages those guys just basically dominated every series they were in, whether it was ARCA or Xfinity. So, but good day for the sophomores. But yeah, I think Gibbs would have finished third if he didn't lose first gear, and maybe even been able to compete for the win, which tells me like he's going to get a win. Maybe not winning is hard, but he's going to be running for multiple wins. There's going to be multiple races where he's running for a win. Gregson, I don't have the confidence of that, but it was good to see. I'm sure that was a nice confidence boost for Noah Gregson.
Yeah. Can I bring up the next topic that I want to talk about?
Yeah.
Next topic I want to talk about, two of our favorite drivers, my two favorite drivers right now, but one of your, I would say your undoubtedly favorite driver. They're sharing something very in common right now. Do you want to know what that, do you know what that is?
Oh, I already know what it is. It's that they cannot get a fucking, they can't get on pit road correctly. It's
Ross Chastain and Kyle Busch. Just, I feel like every week have had pit road issues, whether it's speeding, box, every week, and it just sets them back. Ross Chastain did a good enough job of it. It came earlier in the race. He raced his way back up to fourth, but Kyle Busch runs well all day, and then he has. And it's not even like a speeding. Sometimes it's a pit crew thing. Sometimes it's a Busch thing. You know, today his nose was too in front of the box.
And didn't push it back. Like why are you not pushing it back? But yeah. But with Chastain, it's frustrating because it's been self-indicted both times. Where it's like, just stop speeding on pit road, dude. Like, I understand you're trying to make up time and save time, but you've screwed yourself. Like, now, in these two races, he's finished eighth and in fourth place, right? So it hasn't hurt his performance a ton at the end of the day. But, you know, when he did come back out, he was able to run with, you know, with Larson for a little bit, right? Like, he was kind of like, he was running at second. Like, he passed Reddick and everything, and then had to do the free pass thing because, you know, Larson lapped the new kid in the 16 and then Grala. But it's like, I understand he finished fourth, but hey, you know what? Maybe you're running fourth and you have a good pit stop, with 30 to go, and you're able to run first, you know, with four tires because you have, or finish second. Like, stop doing that shit because it drove me nuts. And they showed his in car. And as soon as he like was on pit, I was like, oh God, like, there was a lot of slowdown after the line, and I was like, he fucking sped. I was like, I knew he sped, and damn it, he did. Also, the other king of screwing himself is Christopher Bell. I've never seen someone who, when he like things don't go perfectly his way, end up spinning himself. It's like, it's every single race where Christopher Bell has a really good car and something will go wrong, right? And then he ends up like just wrecking himself. So spun out today. Like, it happens all the damn time with him. Like, where
and
it's even like,
early in the race, but we're early in the race too. I don't know.
Well, he had the right rear go down early in the race, which is like, okay, not your fault. Get back after it and moving up a little bit, and then just spun the damn thing out.
Yeah.
So like, he does that all the time. I know you like him and think he's going to figure it out this year, but it's like, I can't believe he's going to figure. I know he's gotten the championship four back to back years. But like, there is so much potential there, but like, you can't outdrive your car over and over again. It's gonna end up driving Gibbs crazy that he does that shit all the time.
Yep. Two other drivers that I want to bring up, and this is gonna be again like an ongoing story. As you know, we talked like five, ten minutes ago about how, you know, obviously Larson dominated, and that's really impressive. We talked about him at the start, and then even Byron's recovery, finishing at 10th. There's a dichotomy in Hendrick right now where you have the speed of those two cards and then you have Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman. It's still early. You just had 1.5 mile track with two super speedways the first two races. But, I mean, early in the year, even at the super speedway tracks, for there to be such a starch-drask difference of speeds in two cars versus the other two cars on the same team, I think it's something to really keep an eye on. And I think you should be worried about it, even with it being this early in the season.
I do want to talk with the chat a little bit towards the end. I think that's something we can do on these shows. So it's going to be interesting to see with, like you said, there is a dichotomy between Larson and Byron and Elliott. Now, Bowman, I just don't like Bowman. I don't think he's good. Even in this race, he ticked me off a little bit. He was blocking Chastain like an asshole. He was doing something else. I can't remember where he was just like, when he took two tires at the end of stage two, and his car is just, you know, sinking like an anchor. And instead of just being like, okay, just keep control of this thing, he's throwing these dumbass blocks where it's like, you're going to cause a wreck. I can't, for someone to like race as uncompetitively as him and also like throw the blocks that he does, it just drives me nuts. Yeah. And I'm at the point where I want somebody else in the 48 car. Please, like, let's get a better, there's got to be better. I know he's won 7 races and all that, but I just think that there is someone that is better deserved to drive that 48 car, whether that's someone within Cup getting an upgrade or, you know, pulling from the Xfinity series. There's, to me, there's got to be, you know, somebody out there.
Carson Hocevar responded nicely to adversity today. I want to say one thing. Just a little promo and a little bit of a plug. If you're watching this on Twitter, it is a lot better for watching experience to watch on YouTube and subscribe to this new channel that Bobby Skinner and I are working on. That'll be appreciated. And I know it's a lot easier to chat when you're on YouTube versus Twitter, unless you have Twitter Blue. Unless you have Twitter Blue, you're muted. Unless you have Twitter Blue, you can't chat with us on Twitter. So chat with us on YouTube. You're muted.
Yeah, I was going to say that we literally just cannot chat with you if you're on Twitter. Other things, very funny. My favorite audio of the day was that Mike Joyce said Bubba Wallace had to cut his nut off, which is unfortunate. Bad break for Bubba Wallace, who was number one in Winston Cup point standings coming in, and then had to cut his nut off, which you never want to have to cut your nut off.
I feel like it was the exact opposite of what happened with Buescher, where, you know, Buescher he lost his nut, and then
he lost his nut.
Yeah, and then Bubba Wallace had to cut his nut off.
Yeah, his nut flew off, and then and Bubba had to cut his nut off. There was really nothing else from the Cup race that stood out to me.
No.
Besides the fact that I like that there could be comers and goers, you know, at the first mile and a half race that we saw, right? Like, we saw all the good drivers who had, like, even Chastain having to start in the back because they had to do the, you know, rewrap his car. Like, he was moving up quickly. Hocevar, right? Like, Hocevar was constantly the guy moving up. You know, he moved up early in the race, and then, you know, they had the pit, or they short pitted, and then the caution came out, and he moved back up. What did he end up finishing?
Like 15th.
I don't think we're far off from saying he's the best driver at Spire.
No. And I was a little worried that they moved him up too quick. Like, I wanted him to stay another year in the trucks, not even move up to Xfinity, because the Xfinity car is so different from the trucks. I wanted him to stay another year in the trucks, or even a year at Xfinity, and just compete in a different car. I thought he was being moved up way too fast, but I mean, he's, you know, I think what you're asking for a young guy like him is stay on the lead lap, finish races. And, you know, he went through that adversity, and, you know, Austin Dillon, who was running in the top 10 for, you know, a good part of the second half of the race, Carson Hocevar finishes one spot ahead of him, and also finishes in front of Alex Bowman. And Josh,
I saw a tweet that Austin Dillon had his best stage finish since Sonoma last year, which shows how bad Austin Dillon has been.
You want to talk about dichotomy between in a race team, about what Kyle Busch is doing, and then
maybe Kyle Busch is bringing them up a little bit.
He is.
Winston Cup point standings.
Oh, sure.
William Byron, last year's Winston Cup champion in first. Blaney second. Chastain third. Gibbs fourth. Truex fifth. Larson only sixth. And then the real Cup point standings. Hard to see. Kyle Larson's first place, right? So that's good for him. Blaney second. Truex third. Byron fourth. Chastain fifth. Obviously, Byron and Suarez go to 2 and 3 if the playoffs start because of their wins. But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what happens when you win every stage and dominate a race. So good there. All right, so let's get to the chat if they want to ask us any questions. Did you watch the truck race? Roger Carruth, dude, getting a win was pretty cool.
Yeah. Pit crew at the end.
Yeah, and speaking of Spire, like, hey, those trucks are strong. You know, obviously, yeah, I know Kyle Busch was in one of them, but they've won 2 of the first 3 races. Roger finished second at Daytona and was running really well. LaJoy was running really well at Daytona too in the 7. You know, and Nick Sanchez for Rev Racing, those are Spire truck, you know, Spire Kyle Busch trucks too. Won Daytona. Like, maybe that can be a new strong team within the truck. So that was good. And he ran, like, he sat on the pole, you know, gave up the lead early, but ran, was running really well. And then once he took that lead, he was, from green flag stops, took off. And it was really nice to see a truck race that ended in timely fashion instead of, 25 different cautions.
Yeah.
But really cool for Raja Carruth. Obviously, you guys don't need us to go on and on how it's cool about, a black guy winning for the third time in NASCAR's three major series, but it is, it is pretty cool. And have you seen the Icy Vert NASCAR thing at all?
Yeah.
But he's a Raja Carruth guy. And then his first time watching he didn't watch the Atlanta race. His first time watching a NASCAR is the guy who kicked it off and followed him and got a start and Raja Carruth ended up winning. Was pretty cool.
It's crazy how that account has been everywhere. Everywhere.
He's going to be at the Charlotte race. That's like the race that he's picking to go to. Maybe we'll get him on the live show or something. It is very weird to me though, to see you see these big profiles who have a professional athlete. And then it's just 21-year-old white kid behind this huge account. But I like what he's doing. I talked with Toronto on it on Thursday, how it's so annoying that some NASCAR Twitter fans are like, why don't I get this attention? It's like, because you don't have a following. Like, what do you think NASCAR should just send every fan to a VIP package? Like, they don't cost that much if you really want to save up for one.
I have news. I don't know if I officially told you this. I'm going to Bristol. It's official.
Official.
I will be at Bristol.
So what's your travel plans for that?
I think we're leaving on Friday. I'm taking off on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, but we're leaving on Friday.
Well, it's free agency, so Thursday we're going to have to do a Talking Giants.
Yes. Well, no, I think I'm home Thursday, no matter what. And if not, maybe then we're leaving Thursday night. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The trucks don't run at Bristol, but there's going to be the Xfinity race and the Cup race. I will be there for it.
I'm excited for you. Bit of Dan says, do you guys miss Fontana, California? Yeah, a little bit, but I think there's other tracks that are going to go. Justin, you going to Pocono or walking? Yeah, those are the closest. I guess Dover's the closest.
Dover's my favorite race to go to, but they moved it a couple years ago, so it's the same weekend as the NFL draft. Funny story about Dover, very quick.
Well, they didn't move Dover. The NASCAR, I'm telling you, the draft, because the cycle of the calendar, it's up a week compared.
Well, no, every year for the last couple of years, Dover has been the same weekend as the NFL draft. And it's the same thing this year. Dover used to be in June, and that's really when Dover should be, because it's too cold to have a race in the East Coast at the end of April. You don't know what the weather's going to be. And same thing for Martinsville. That's one of the reasons why Martinsville, Virginia, Martinsville Speedway, it's been a bad, I was there. It's been a bad race over the last couple of years, partially because of the tire, but also it's too damn cold. So Dover's the same weekend as the NFL draft. Can't go to that. I've been lucky the last 2 years. The only way that I would have been able to go to Dover is if it gets rained out. The last 2 years, it's gotten rained out, and I've waking up at, after being awake for how many hours and streaming that weekend of the NFL draft, I would wake up at 3 or 4 a.m. on Monday, go down with my buddy. We would see the Dover race and then come back up. So I'm rooting for rain again on when we record our draft recap pod.
Pocono, I've actually
I don't go to either of those races though.
I've never been to Pocono. I've been to Pocono twice, never seen a race. Me and you stopped by on the way to Detroit, which it is a pretty fast. Man, this track is
huge,
just monstrous.
Yeah,
and then in my mother's stomach, I was there for a race.
You want to talk about a track that it rains every year?
Poker. We got Bingle in the chat. He said, "I thought you were talking Giants, race cars." Subscribe to the channel. Maybe just maybe do a community post on your YouTube channel saying, "If you love NASCAR, check out these guys. They're the best NASCAR podcast in the whole damn world."
I don't know, Bingle. Fuck around, and do that.
What does this mean from Julian?
Is it Dylan Gabriel, except the T and the G are he texted us this too. I have no idea what it means.
I don't know.
What's NASCAR's version of NFL's explosive play? Going three wide and three wide pass,
I guess. Really, not a great one. That's Killen Grabe is an O-line prospect in this draft. He must be a UCF guy, obviously.
Sure. Thanks, Bengal.
Tested pretty well today. Thank you very much, Bengal. Thank you. Thank you for watching. We got to get Bengal out to a NASCAR. I don't know where Bengal lives. So we got to get
Texas.
I know he likes Texas. Does he live in Texas?
No, I'm like 90% positive he lives in Texas.
Okay, we'll go to the Texas race then. I'm going to do an unboxing video for Diecast. Andrew Christopher sent me an entire box of Terry Labonte cars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I gotta do that.
Any number 44s in there?
I don't know. I haven't opened it because I'm waiting to open it for the video. I want to have genuine happiness when I see it.
Do we do Diecast on the Sunday show or the Thursday show?
We could do both. I don't have any new ones behind. We can, we'll do it the Thursday show since we're at 30 minutes.
Thursday show. We'll get something ready instead of getting up from our chairs in the middle of the show.
He moved to Texas in 20. Bingo moved to Texas in 2019. Tough to leave New Jersey, obviously, but it was the right call. No, anytime you leave New Jersey for a state down in, not New Jersey, it's usually the right call. And especially like I'm in Florida, we have no income tax down here. It's pretty sick. All right, so we will see you guys on Thursday. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. The race next week is Phoenix, which I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it, even though I don't like watching races at Phoenix, just to kind of get a read on who's going to win the championship. All right, we'll see you guys on the next one. Until then, let's go race.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.